Well, good morning. Aren't you glad you came today? Wow. That was so neat. The children did such a good job and the band playing with them. We want to welcome all of you and those worshiping with us online today. Now, today we're going to look at the challenge that God gives us not to hesitate when he gives us the opportunity to share our faith. I don't know what kind of week you had, but let me tell you about mine. There was a neighborhood was being paved. Our neighborhood was being, the streets were being paved again. They're taking up the asphalt and they're going to be coming back through there. And so a dump truck hit the power and knocked it out. And so it was out for about 6 hours. And then that night when it came back on, we didn't have internet, but I'm not bitter. And so we didn't get that till the next morning. We thought that everything was fine and we had gotten through the worst part. Oh, nay, nay. There was a water main that broke on the beach. And most of the people on the east end of the beach did not have water for quite some time. How many of you were without water this week? Okay, avoid these people, okay? How many of you had water this week? Don't get too snooty. It could happen to you next time. So anyway, we have power. We have internet. We have water. We've all cleaned up, I hope. And we're all ready for church. And we came and the children did such a great job in the band. I tell you, I enjoyed that. If we had another service, I'd come back just to hear that, wouldn't you? They got into it too, didn't they? I tell you, you couldn't help but get into it. Now today, I want us to think about the divine appointments that God has for us, the opportunities he gives us to share our faith with others. And I want to challenge us not to hesitate when God gives us this chance, but to proclaim it boldly. You never know how God might use one moment of boldness to change someone's life. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. And it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Now, what happened was that the angel made a prophetic declaration and said, I bring you good news of great joy. The Savior has been born in Bethlehem. And it's interesting to me that the prophetic word of Malachi was the last word that people heard for 400 years. For 400 years, the Lord was silent. And then he comes in the midst of that silence with this earth-shattering good news about the Savior coming to the world. And God is announcing this through the angel. And who is he announcing it to? He's announcing it to the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, some scholars believe that these shepherds were actually shepherd priests. They were preparing the sheep for the Passover. They were preparing them to give their life just as the Lamb of God was being born. Maybe they were just ordinary shepherds. We don't really know, but God chose shepherds. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but in those days, shepherds were despised. They had very little to no respect. There were four significant things that were going on with shepherds in those days. The first thing was that a shepherd was not even allowed to testify in court. Everybody else could, but they couldn't. Oh, you can't believe a shepherd. They lie all the time. You don't need to pay any attention to them. They can't tell you, even if they saw the crime, I wouldn't trust what they said. Then they were also not allowed to sell property. Can you imagine? They would say, you know, they probably stole that property. We don't even know if it belongs to them. They can't do that. And so they couldn't buy things very easily. And then the third issue was they were ceremonially unclean, which meant that they could not go to the temple and worship. So even if you had a heart for shepherds in those days, you couldn't invite them to go with you to the temple because they would be unwelcome and they would be turned away. And finally, shepherds were social outcasts. They were the bottom of society, like tax collectors and prostitutes. And so some parents would even teach their children, if you see a shepherd, walk away from them. Go to the other side of the street. Don't get anywhere near them because they are unclean. Can you imagine the life that they lived? And yet, God chose shepherds of all people to bring good news. Unpolished, unremarkable, uneducated shepherds, and they would share the good news of the Savior being born. And the moment the shepherds heard this news, they said, we've got to go to Bethlehem and see what happened. Without hesitation, the scripture says, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. There was no hesitation. There was no holding back. Maybe we ought to pray about it. Maybe we ought to sleep on it. Maybe we ought to think about it. No, they didn't hesitate. They hurried to go there and to be there. And I wish that we might learn a lesson from the shepherds. I wish in the modern day church that we would get rid of spiritual hesitation. I wish that we would be so excited and open when God speaks to us that we would be willing to do what he calls us to do, that there would be a sense of urgency and a sense of anticipation. I wonder when you come to church on Sunday morning, do you think, I just can't wait to get there and worship God? You know, I come in and I see people who come in early. And they'll have a specific seat they sit in. And they'll get there way before the service started. I said, I see you're in your seat today. Yes, yes, I bought season tickets. So here I am. I'm in the right place. You can go ahead and start anytime you want to. Well, let's just give it a minute till a few more other folks get here. You're an hour early, so it'll be okay. Just stick around. But I wonder, do you want to be here? Do you want to come? And have you ever thought, you know what? This is so good. I don't want to just keep this to myself. I want to bring somebody else with me. I want somebody else to know the good news that I've discovered. You know, I don't know if Jesus is coming back soon or not. Sometimes we think that, and certainly we see that in our society, in our world today. But here's the thing. We don't need to hesitate because every day is still an opportunity when God is giving us to reach people who are far from him. And we don't know how many more of those days we're going to have. So we need to take advantage of them. Do you have a sense of urgency about sharing with someone else? Did you know that people are more receptive to an invitation to come to church during Advent than any other time of the year, even on Easter? You know, you might talk to someone. God might put somebody on your heart. You might have been thinking about them, and you want to reach out to them, and you might invite them, and they might surprise you and say, well, yes, I think I will go. I'm ready. I'll accept your invitation. And what a privilege and wonderful thing that would be. And what will God do through your boldness? You see, often we focus on ourselves. We say we don't want to be weirdos. We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. And so we use every excuse we can come up with not to do what God is calling us to do. But when you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, take advantage of that because God can reward that boldness. The scripture says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. I want you to think about that for a minute. The shepherds went, they saw the baby Jesus, they worshiped him, they celebrated together, and then what did they do? They kept it to themselves, right? We're just shepherds. Nobody will listen to us. Nobody trusts us. Nobody cares what we think. We won't be able to tell anybody, no. These shepherds had great courage because it says they told everyone. Everyone, they didn't hesitate. They didn't want to leave anybody out. They were nobodies. People didn't want to have anything to do with them. The next time you are tempted to hesitate to do what God is calling you to do, I want you to remember the courage of these shepherds. I want you to think about how difficult it was for them to open up and reach out and go to everyone they could find and tell them this good news. And then I want you to follow their example. What if they were to ask the question that I can't answer? That's what people say a lot of times. Well, if I invite somebody and they ask me something, I don't know what the answer is. Let me tell you something. If you're a parent, you have been asked a question you don't know the answer to, okay? If you're a grandparent, I promise you, you've been asked a question you don't know the answer to. It doesn't really matter, does it? You just do the best you can. But you know what? God can use even that. And you just go ahead and don't hold back. You go ahead and you tell everybody that you have the opportunity to share that with. And then the scripture says this, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. When is the last time that somebody was astonished by what you told them? When is the last time you can remember that you said a word of witness to someone? When's the last time that you shared your faith with somebody when you felt prompted to do so? The message of the shepherds was easy, it was simple, and it was clear. And they just made it known to everyone they ran into. God announced to the shepherds. And here's the thing. If God will announce this word to the shepherds, and the shepherds tell other people, everybody could say, well, you know, if the shepherds are good enough to hear this, then maybe I'm good enough to hear this too. See, if God had announced it to royalty, they would have said, well, that was for royalty. That wasn't for us. We're just normal people. We're ordinary. We don't matter. But he didn't do that. He went to the lowest rung of society so that every person would feel welcome with this good news. Because God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. So think about that. God might choose you. He might choose me to do something extraordinary just through our ordinary presence with someone else. God chooses people like us. And sometimes, you know, what we say is, well, you know what I'd rather do? I would rather pray than witness. Well, now, God never said, I tell you what, it's multiple choice. You just pick whatever you want to do. He didn't say that. He said, go and tell all the world. Go into all the world and share the gospel. It's the Great Commission. And yeah, you can pray before you go, but go. And go tell them what's going on there. Because God wants to work through you and me. And then share your witness. You have no idea how God might use your boldness to reach someone who is lost. No more hesitation. How might God work through your boldness in someone else's life? The shepherds did what they were called to do, and that's why we're here today, because they went out and shared the good news. Lord, make me bold, you say. Lord, I want you to work in my life. I want you to teach me what you would have me do and say. I want to say to depression. I want to say to my finances. I want to say to hurt and pain and sin and sorrow, there is a Savior, and he has an answer. And when the Savior makes you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Tell your family and your coworkers, don't give up on them because God has not given up on you. What happens if you hesitate? Not much. But if you're bold, amazing things can happen for all eternity. Now today, I just want to wrap this up, and I want to share a story with you from my past. When I answered the call to the ministry, I was working in a church in Florida, and I had been a student in college, and I transferred from Middle Tennessee State University to Huntingdon College. I changed my major to religion and philosophy. I was studying there with other ministers, people who were going into the ministry. So the chaplain at the school decided during January he would offer a J-term class. And in this class, we would be able to go visit the different seminaries so we could decide where we felt we were called to go to seminary. So they took us up to Vanderbilt, and they took us on up to Asbury in Kentucky. They took us to Duke in North Carolina. They took us to Emory in Atlanta, and then back to Montgomery. When we got to Duke, they took us into class in each one of these seminaries. And there was this professor who got up to teach the class, and he said, "Now, before we get started, I want to read a little scripture and do a little devotional for you." And then he said, "Let's bow our heads for prayer." And I said, "This is wonderful. They're praying at Duke. Who knew they did this other than basketball and football season? This is wonderful." And then I found out later that professor was only at Duke for one semester. Do you know he was on loan from his seminary where he taught to work there at Duke? Do you know what seminary he was from? Asbury Seminary. That's where he was from. And so while we were at Asbury, they said, "We're going to go into a class, and this is Dr. Robert Coleman. Now, we're just students. We're just visiting for that day. But we get to go in this man's class, and we get to listen. And he does this devotional experience before he gets started. And he reads a little scripture, and then he says, "I want to tell you a story that happened to me when I was a young man." Dr. Robert Coleman said, "When I was a young preacher, just starting out, I was in school, and they took us all out to witness to people, and they took us to the backwoods of Kentucky, and we went out into the hollers where the coal miners worked." And he said, "I was by myself, and I was walking back in this holler, and he said, I ran into a man, and he said, I said to him, 'Hello, I'm Robert Coleman.' And I shook his hand and I said, 'What's your name?' And he said that he was Mr. Meadows. And then Dr. Coleman said that he visited with him and he shared his faith with Mr. Meadows. And he told him how Jesus had saved him and what that meant to him, and how he wanted to go out and tell other people what it meant to be a Christian so that they might have an opportunity to become a Christian too. And then Dr. Coleman said, as that young man, he said, I looked at that coal miner and I said, 'Mr. Meadows, are you a Christian?' And he said, 'Mr. Meadows said, no, I'm not.' And Dr. Coleman said, 'Well, Mr. Meadows, would you like to become a Christian?' And he said, 'Mr. Meadows said, yes, I would.' And Dr. Coleman said that it was not until they knelt down that he realized that they were on stones and they had knelt down in the creek of running water, but it didn't seem to matter. And there he prayed a prayer, and he prayed with Mr. Meadows to receive Christ. And that evening, Mr. Meadows became a Christian. And Dr. Coleman said that he walked with Mr. Meadows on up to his house so he could go inside and tell his family about what he had done. And he went inside with him. And this old coal miner went in and he told his wife and his children what he had done. And they were all excited and so joyous and happy about it. And they celebrated the good news together. And Dr. Coleman said he was so moved by that experience that he went back to visit them sometime later. And they were ready for him. They knew he was coming. They had a tiny little cabin, and it had a dirt floor, but they had cleaned everything up, and she had cooked all kinds of food, and there was a pie sitting in the windowsill, and they were ready for Dr. Coleman. And he went inside, and they reminisced together about the day that Mr. Meadows had been saved, and they thanked Dr. Coleman for coming out there and sharing the good news with them, and they celebrated the memories they had of that day, but also the memories they'd had since then, because Mr. Meadows had remained true to his word. He was faithful, and he was still following Jesus. And when Dr. Coleman finished telling that story from his life, he had glasses, and a lot of times he would take his glasses off, and he would look back up to the sky. It was almost like he was looking to Jesus, And he said to all of us, let us kneel for prayer. And everyone in that room hit the floor simultaneously. And then Dr. Coleman prayed. And everybody there was with him. And when he said amen, I thought to myself, I believe I have found my seminary. This is a place where I can go and worship Jesus. And sure enough, I did apply and was accepted. And I took Dr. Coleman's class on evangelism because I knew it was real. I knew that Dr. Coleman didn't just talk about it, he did it. And you know, on Saturday nights, he would take the students from the seminary into Lexington, and he would give them an opportunity to share their faith with strangers, people they'd never met. And he would just talk to them, and they would talk to the people, and it would just be a privilege for them to learn what it meant to share their faith with somebody else. Let us kneel for prayer. And the challenge that he gave all of us was that we might go out and share, that we might practice evangelism. Evangelism is just sharing good news. You don't have to be a seminary student to do that. You don't have to take a class on evangelism. All you need to do is be willing to witness to someone when God gives you the opportunity. All we have to do is trust God and not hesitate and act when given the chance. Who knows what one moment of boldness God might do with that? The lost could be found. The blind might be healed. The deaf might be able to hear. The dead in Christ might come to life. The breaking the chains of addiction, freeing people from depression, restoring broken relationships, answering prayer, changing countless lives because you were willing to be bold enough to share your faith with someone else. What's the message? It's simple. Jesus Christ has been born. He's here. He came to save us from our sins, and you can be saved too right now today. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would make us bold. Lord, I pray that you might make us interruptible. I pray that you would prompt us. I pray that we would not worry about our own schedule, that we would not worry about our own mood, but we would take advantage of the opportunities that we are given to share the faith. God, I ask you to give us urgency to help people see you and know you and invite them to church. And Lord, when the Holy Spirit leads us, I pray you'd give us the words to say, and we'd be full of faith that others can believe, and we might be able to see the harvest. Where do we stand spiritually? If today you're not sure, then I pray today that you would just accept Jesus as your Savior. He's without sin. He is perfect. He's known as the Lamb of God. He's God in the flesh who died in our place so we could be forgiven. He is the one that allows us to receive forgiveness. We can step away from our sinfulness, and by faith we can call on his name. And that's why we call it good news, because he paid the price for us. And when we confess that he is Lord, he forgives us of our sins and we become new. And that's the very reason that some of us are here today. Just say in your heart, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you, and I just thank you for the privilege of knowing you and following you from now on. And now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to go out and share that good news with urgency, that we would tell everyone we meet what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.